Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." So what did the centurion see that led him to his conclusion, to his witness, to his testimony? And what might he have meant by it? The centurion did not see how Jesus conducted himself during his trials. He might have come on the scene as they led Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's residence where they dressed him in regal purple. Centurions, like our centurion, mocked him and spat on him and pretended to do homage to what they saw as a fake king. We don't know how Jesus took this, but we can infer that he maintained some measure of dignity by not dignifying the mockery with a response. Perhaps this was the centurion that compelled Simon of Cyrene to carry the crossbar to which they would nail Jesus' arms. Was Jesus too weak to carry it himself? We don't know, although many have portrayed him that way as a result of otherwise unreported torture. The centurion probably saw that Jesus declined even the mildest anesthetic before they drove the nails into his wrists and his feet. And maybe that impressed him, or maybe he just thought, suit yourself. Did he notice anything about Jesus except which of his personal belongings he hoped to get from just another deluded and rebellious Jew? No, I think the centurion began to see Jesus, as in began to see and notice and respond and think about Jesus during the vigil between 9 in the morning and noon. If you've ever kept vigil as someone lies dying, you know how surprisingly exhausting it can be. How sometimes watching someone you love die can remind you of labor, bringing new life into being. Or at other times, it can be more like a sort of fading away as the silences between breaths get longer. If you've had the privilege of being someone with someone as they lay dying, then you know how much time seems to slow down, how you notice every little thing. Could it have been something like that for our soldier, as he finally turned his attention to what was going on around him apart from his having tasks to complete? Perhaps it began when he heard the taunts, the cheap and ugly derision. Or had he done this before, engaged in public execution of a convicted criminal and become inured or hardened to mob behavior? But if he listened to those taunts, might he have wondered if someone would come and save Jesus, rather as Isaac was saved by a lamb in that story that ends God's interest, marks the ending of God's interest in all human sacrifice? Whatever was going on, and the cross was not the propitiation of some angry God. Our centurion probably wouldn't have understood the business about Elijah or known the prophecy of Malachi that Elijah would appear before the time of messianic fulfillment. Maybe he took that as just more mockery. Or maybe he thought that the bystander who realized that Jesus was suffering and offered sour wine had heard Jesus correctly. Or maybe he just grasped that in this God-forsaken time and place, Jesus was still calling out to God, alone and in pain, forsaken, and yet still calling in some measure of trust. What did he see? He saw and heard Jesus give a loud cry and breathed his last. In some versions, Jesus is said to have bowed his head, but in any event, the effect is the same of the windpipe being closed and death coming quickly. I imagine that what the centurion saw was a man living fully until he died. That's what I pray for you. That's what I pray for me, that we will live until we die. Many of you have read Viktor Frankl's account of his time at Auschwitz in Man's Search for Meaning, and remember his observation that some people in the camps went to the ovens long dead to all intents and purposes, but that others faced even their life last moments with a kind of life-affirming dignity and courage. They lived until they died. And so I believe did Jesus. He was fully present to his own experience with no balm or salve from drugs or wine. And even as he knew this God-forsaken hour, he still cried out to his Abba, his Father. The centurion didn't know about the veil of the temple, the opening of a new possibility of relationship with God for everyone. There's so much he did not know. Yet still he professed that Jesus, before whom he stood, was God's Son. Even in death, there was something self-authenticating about this man. Even with his outrageous claims, which during that three-hour vigil began to make more sense. I imagine our centurion had his eyes opened to a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but facing death with courage, facing death with integrity, even a kind of reasonable and holy hope, perhaps, and then recognized in him something godly, maybe even something beautiful, but certainly something amazing in that God-forsaken time and place. As we stand listening and watching Jesus breathe his last, what do we see? And what shall we say? What is our witness? What is our testimony? And what shall we do today but sit in profound silence? Let us pray.